Welcome to Room Escape Divas, and today we're on episode 13. I'm Ruby.
I'm Errol.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Mike, and his name isn't Errol. It's Elmer.
And today we are on a road trip to the Kitchener and Waterloo area with our special guest, Scott Nicholson. Whee!
Start dismay from delays, and we slowly went insane. We called by voice many times, but the silence still remained. I guess that was stuck together. Don't want to stay forever. So where did you go? 'Cause we need a clue. We will be right here waiting for you. We want to escape this puzzle we hate. So we'll sit right here waiting for you.
Welcome back to Room Escape Divas.
Room Escape Divas!
We are on the road. We have just done our first escape room in Waterloo. The ultimate escape room, I think it was called.
We're all in different cars, though, so they will eventually come on. So we're here. Actually, why don't you say who we're all here with?
All right, yeah, so it's Ruby, Mike, myself, Errol, and Scott Nicholson is back with us.
Woohoo!
And we are
wearing a kilt.
He is wearing a kilt, which I really hope there's no laser room or something like that. I am looking at directions and talking at
or
the same
time.
Yeah, we just finished Ultimate Escape. What did you think, Errol? There was a train. Errol was excited about the train.
Train!
He found a little small train. We
why
got
I
it.
Turn left. I
have you turn right left. In 2.5 kilometers.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Thrills and chills as we look at the directions.
Train. Oh, I'm coming to a stop. Sorry, guys. Anyways, I was excited about the train.
Yes, I was excited. They had some cool gadgets in this room. I kind of liked using the gadgets. They weren't always exact, but they were fun.
Yeah, there are gadgets that I haven't used before. I mean, there were some that I have, but there are some gadgets that I haven't. It was really cool. And I know that's super vague, but we don't want to give any spoilers. Yeah. So I liked it because there's a lot of stuff you could play with. Like the train!
Oh my
train!
God. No, seriously, seriously. I'm pretty sure you could hear Errol out in the parking lot with how excited he was about this.
Yeah, because you could turn the train on. It was awesome. If you ever see the picture, I'm posing with the train. I was so excited about that train. And surprisingly, not a black light, because it's one of their first ones, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, no black lights. That was also exciting.
It was a first. They've only been open for about 11 weeks. They're brand new. And there wasn't, So I was impressed by that. It was completely lit, so I was happy. And there's a train!
Yes, there is a train. Oh my god.
The trial and error of the puzzles were a bit much, so there were some puzzles where we got the answer and we weren't too sure on what the answer was. Orders to put them in, exactly how you want to derive what number from which. I mean, we knew how to solve it. It was just like, okay, there's got to be a way that these numbers go in. So, that inexactness and vagueness was a bit, you know, deflating. But then there was a train.
I know. There were quite a few four-digit locks as well.
Oh, there is a ton of them. There were locks galore in this place. There was three-digit locks, four-digit locks, letter lock. There was, like, locks all over the place. And sometimes I wasn't too sure. Well, actually, it was pretty good because Ruby did a good job of getting rid of a lock once it was done.
Yes.
Or maybe you were doing it. Somebody.
Yeah, we were all pretty good with lock management, actually. The moment somebody started to get a number, there'd be three of us on three different locks trying it out all at once to save on time.
What are we doing?
This is the parking lot that we're going to.
Oh!
So that we can park our cars, and then we can, like, carpool.
We're already here. Oh, we're carpooling. Oh, we can all go in my car.
Yeah, and then we can record all of us together.
Yay!
Yeah. Isn't that exciting?
Recording?
Yeah, it is.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Red light on?
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Look at it's that. Counting, too.
Carol doesn't trust man pants.
I don't.
No, you should.
She might be looking at, you know, whenever we're trying to talk to someone else, she's just looking at her phone, Tindering.
There's not many Asians in Waterloo.
You know, I don't know why I'm holding...
Are you trying to say that she's only into Asians?
That's what you always say.
Don't believe Errol.
Anyway, we just finished our second room, Adventure Rooms. That was fun. I did have fun.
I did have fun, too. I'm discovering so far, based on the two rooms we've done so far, is that Kitchener and Waterloo seem to like their gadgets. I kind of like that.
Well, what did you think of the first room, Ruby?
First room. My attention span's a little short today.
That was fun. I did mention the train, because I posed with it.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure I can say the thing about the train. Yes. I was high. But what did you think of the room?
Overall, it was nice. It was cute with a lot of nostalgia, I felt like. Yeah.
A lot of gadgets I haven't seen. What about you? Have you seen any of those gadgets? You've done more rooms, so I'm thinking maybe you've seen more gadgets than I have.
I think in the gadgets that we had to use today, I've seen all of them. The only things I haven't seen were those tapes.
Oh, you haven't seen an 8-track. Oh, that's hilarious.
No, I hadn't either.
That's okay. Yeah. That's okay. There's no spoilers in this.
It was decor.
It's decor.
Yeah.
But that's funny.
Yeah, because we picked it up and Scott's like, oh, 8-tracks. And me and Mamda was just like.
I actually tried to open one of them because I thought it was like a box or something like that. And I was wait, there's hilarious. Tape in here.
Yeah, that's an 8-track. My dad used to. When cassettes were still a thing, my dad would took an 8-track player and put it in the car because he had all these old 8-tracks. So it could only really hold, like, what happened, you'd have a button and then it would skip to another part and then you could flip it over and you press a button. So there wasn't a rewind or a fast forward. It was just buttons that will take you to four different spots on it. So
do you prefer 8-tracks or cassettes then?
Well, I grew up with cassettes, so
okay.
I also just prefer not having a buttload of things. So I do like my
The digital age.
I'm okay with well. The digital age. Yes.
Yeah, I know what a cassette is. I just don't know what an 8-track is.
Yeah, I grew up with cassettes.
Yeah, same.
Anyway, we did enjoy the rooms.
Yes.
They're pretty puzzle heavy. A lot of locks,
yes,
I find.
A lot of
I think
this
I
one
liked
was,
adventure.
Had less locks.
Yeah, I think I liked adventure rooms a bit better.
Okay, I'll follow you in our car.
We have found Scott and Mike.
I think personally for myself, I like the first room better. I had, because of all the stuff.
Well, the stuff.
The second room was just, you know, basic puzzles.
Same with the, I don't know.
But I like the fun gadgets in the first room.
I like the fun gadgets in the first room, but I think
I enjoyed the second one more.
The
puzzles were more straightforward in Adventure Room.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yes, the gadgets were cool in Ultimate Escape.
There was more direction in the second, in Adventure Room. So,
yes,
Ultimate Escape had a lot of vagueness.
Once again, searching is not our expertise. We got stuck on a searching thing. We needed a hint.
So, what did you think, Scott?
The problem with the rooms, and both the rooms had the same problem, is there was no reason to be doing one thing after the other.
Mm-hmm.
You finish something and there's nothing to say, okay, now I should be doing this thing. It was a series of separate puzzles, disconnected from, well, the first room that we did had a setting. It was supposedly set in a curiosity shop, although it didn't really feel like that. The second room had no supposed setting other than we were in an original room. So both of these were very heavy with the escape room logic concept. The thing that drove me a little nuts about the first room, when you went in, they were clearly angling towards corporate team building and teamwork. And the words teamwork and togetherness were used in a lot of the puzzles. As someone who has designed a room explicitly for team building, to have a group say, we've got a game that'll help you learn all about teamwork. Yeah, because we're spelling the word teamwork. So just because you put phrases like, you know, the about teamwork makes the dream work and things like that, and it doesn't mean you're doing a teamwork room. So anyway, both of these rooms to me were forgetful. They were a series of activities, a series of puzzles that we did, but I'm tired of rooms that are just a series of puzzles with nothing to tie them together, no reason to do. Why should we do this thing next? That's gotten very tiring for me.
I completely agree. To be fair to these guys, they were the first room in Ontario, but one thing that I noticed, especially in small towns, is that when one person plants their roots, a lot of the other games in the area kind of make similar games, because that's their first game to base it off of. And our first room at the Ultimate Escape kind of resembled this. It was largely a puzzle room that really had no rhyme or reason why you're there other than to solve all the puzzles. Anyway, I'm not going to give my recommendations. You can read my blog.
Well, I'll give my recommendations. I would recommend, if you want to do something as a series of puzzles with no going, knowing there's not a theme, there's not a story, there's not a narrative, you don't have a sense of you being there, of you mattering, but you want an activity where you're working together with friends to figure out a number and see which of four possible locks it might open, then go for it. But otherwise, I would say just know what you're getting into here. And if you're out there and you've designed a facility and you're giving us a challenge where we get a number and there's a number of possible locks that we could open with that number, and you've given us no guide as to why that number goes in that lock, well, then every guess is as equally good as every other guess. And that's the problem. There's no story. There's no logic to any of this.
Yeah, they sort of tried with the first room, I think. They had it kind of showed some promise. They had a video at the beginning, and then it just didn't go anywhere from there.
Right.
It was more like, yeah, I have a curiosity shot. Yeah, go solve it. Like, and then it was like, why should we? Why do we want to? What's the goal? Yeah, so they did try, but it needed a lot more to make it more immersive.
I draw comparisons to 1980s video games design. So in these games, like Ms. Pac-Man, so you're presented up front sometimes with a story. There's sometimes some narrative going on there, and then you're running around in a maze eating dots, ghosts. And so the game mechanisms are not in line with the narrative the players are presented.
Right.
And that's what happened here. You're in a curiosity shop. And that is where the integration with that narrative ended. There were items that were kind of like could be in a curiosity shop, and then there were lots of items that weren't. And they had puzzles that drove us nuts because there was no connection from one thing to the other.
It was me that drove you guys nuts.
Well, it was Errol that drove us nuts. Sorry.
Yay.
Sorry, I forgot about that. So anyway, so 2 out of 2 so far, I would not recommend either.
Okay, great. So up next, we have a zombie lab.
I hear it's going to be even better.
If not, we'll come up with a zombie dance.
So we're going to go but up, right?
Yeah. We have just finished our 5th escape room of the day, our 5th and final one, I think.
And we're tapping out.
We are tapping out our day.
You didn't want to go over to the new one that's in Oakville?
You know, I learned from Ottawa, you don't do more than 5 before you start getting tired and cranky.
Oh, we're good. We're good. Okay, we're tapping out.
Yeah, we're tapping out. Anyway, so, Kitchener, what did everybody think?
Meh.
We ended on a good one.
Well, yes. A better one.
A better one,
I would say. KW needs narrative.
Yes, I think that was the general consensus.
Yes, across and Mike's theory on this was very interesting, that the first room that opened up was a series of puzzles without much story or narrative, and then other rooms just copied that one to the point of we saw the same use of different hardware-style tools, series of puzzles, lots of locks, but no story, no narrative. The setting, if it was there, was briefly introduced and then kind of got out of the way. And I think, sadly, some unrealized potential.
A lot of unrealized potential.
Especially the last room, the vault. There could have been a whole slew of story there.
Well, I think the pirate room, I think the zombie room, all of these could have been really clever.
Yeah.
If the designers had stepped back and said, how do we use the puzzles to tell the story? Instead of, how do we make puzzles to be obstacles? And the players are doing them because they are an obstacle, not because it's the next stage in telling the adventure.
especially for me, the zombie room. Like, there was a big, I won't spoil anything, well,
but it's being shut down, so.
But it's being shut down, but there was a big potential for it there that they just didn't utilize. I got my expectations up, I guess, and then...
Well, we were probably the most frustrated in that room.
We were.
I think so.
Yeah.
And the award for overuse of blacklight goes to...
Oh, my God.
How many times did we need the blacklight?
Many.
One, two, three, four.
At least four, yeah.
At least four separate times in the room that you needed the blacklight to scour something. And it could have been tied in. It's a zombie room. You've got... In fact, they started to. We were following drips on the floor, thinking it was leading to something cool. That's a cool use of blacklight. But no.
No, it wasn't drips on the floor. It was like flakes that just fell there.
So no spoilers there. You don't have to go on the floor to look. And it kept winking out on you too, didn't it?
Oh my gosh. I was actually getting upset. Poor Ruby asked me something like, have we used this yet? I went, yes! And I didn't mean to. What about you, Mike?
I don't know. I feel very blah about Kitchener, I think, overall. Yeah, I mean, I've been here, I think it was about last summer, and we had a similar experience. I was hoping, I guess, a little more from Adventure Rooms, but I mean, it makes sense. So, like, the whole town of Kitchener makes sense. Everything's about the same.
Same levels, same puzzle types, same ideas.
I would say that the last room, the vault that we did, was, like, miles ahead of all the other rooms because it looked much better and there were tons of things, at least looking wise, it looked good.
Yeah.
Right? I enjoyed that part.
But it lost the narrative, the feeling of being in a vault.
Did.
I mean,
you were
15 minutes into the game, you were now in a dreamland that had nothing to do with a vault. So in my mind, I enjoyed the pirate experience. Yeah. I felt more like doing piratey things, even though the puzzles weren't piratey. That I felt more like we were in a piratey mood in that particular room. And there was a lot of potential there for stuff they could do that they fell short on.
On the plus side, in the vault, we got to watch Errol rip, you know, wall apart.
Dang, rip. I thought it was supposed to open. There's no direction.
Well, it did open.
It did.
It just wasn't supposed to open.
Forcefully.
And then he had to be, like, stopped by me and Man Pants from ripping up a pipe from the floor.
I just ripped the pipe and me and Ruby were just like, oh, no, don't.
Should we talk about handcuffs?
Yes, I think so.
So there's a story of handcuffs here. How many times today were we handcuffed?
Every time.
I think 4 out of 5times we were handcuffed.
Yeah. Not the first room, yeah.
All right.
But yeah. One room committed what we feel a fairly cardinal sin with the handcuffs.
The main problem was we were supposed to go and rescue you, Manda.
That was what my main problem was.
So we would go in and we're supposed to rescue us, and then all of a sudden, then why would we handcuff ourselves to the wall if we just entered the room to rescue you? That doesn't even make sense.
Oh, right.
And then there was even more to it, the fact that, anyway.
Why in a zombie apocalypse would you handcuff yourself to the wall? Unless you were afraid of yourself turning into a zombie and hurting your loved ones. But that came nothing into it. In fact, they were there to rescue me, and they're like, okay, we're here. Let's handcuff ourselves to the wall.
That'll work.
All right, Manda, get yourself out of the room now.
And we didn't even have to search for a key, which was the most annoying thing on the planet.
Yeah, the frustrating part with that room. So I was free and able to look for a key, and I'm looking and looking and looking and not finding the key. And I break Amanda out, and we're solving puzzles, and we're all getting frustrated because the other three are still on the wall, or poor Ruby is dragging the chair she's handcuffed to around the room because we still haven't found a key. She's actually doing more searching than Manda and I are doing.
Yeah, she's like, Ruby, look over here.
And we still haven't found a key.
So I don't know how that makes you guys feel, that Ruby, with her hand handcuffed to a chair.
Actually, what I was laughing about was, like, they're here to rescue me, and I was out within the first 2 minutes, 2 to 5 minutes of the game, and so then Errol and Mike are just standing helplessly. I felt bad because I went, hey, I don't know, I need to do something. Could someone do something with this? And, like, Ruby comes dragging her chair over. I'm like, I guess I could have done it. Thanks, though, Ruby.
And so we called in for a clue, and we learned that the thing to get out was something that in every other room would have been considered cheating. So it's something we didn't even think to try to do.
Yeah.
Take your hand out of the handcuffs.
Yeah.
And just to clarify, so Errol and Mike were handcuffed to the wall. I was handcuffed to a chair, and that's why I was dragging it around.
So if you put handcuffs in a room, give the players at least the reward of finding the key and getting themselves out. Instead of handcuffing them and then expecting them to think, oh, well, we can just take our hands out. That spoils the expectation. That actually falls afoul of logic number one in escape rooms, which is escape room logic.
Yeah.
That if you have different reasons for asking why in a room, mm-hmm. the common reason and the one you shouldn't default to is escape room logic. And escape room logic says if you're handcuffed to something, you should actually try to find a key to get yourself out. They broke that rule with us. And that's actually breaking that contract with the players as far as we've put you in this situation, you're supposed to get out in a way, and not use what you normally would do. If I was really handcuffed in a room, I'd try to pull my hand out. And in most rooms, you can do that. And in this room, that's what you're supposed to do.
And, I mean, Errol says, like, as fun as it is to be handcuffed from time to time in escape rooms, when there's no reason for it, it really sticks out, especially not in the zombie case, but in the other rooms. Again, we were out within the first couple of minutes, and it's yeah. like, what was the point of that other than time padding?
A little aha, a little challenge, a little reward, and you didn't get any of that in the zombie room. How long did you guys spend it? 15 minutes? You spent, 15 minutes of being handcuffed in that room?
Yeah, probably.
Or more.
It was a long time.
And there was no payoff. There was
no...
Even if they had hit a key somewhere, you could get out by taking your hand out or finding the key. Then at least that would have given the players that sense of reward. But if you give them the challenge without reward, that is poor design. That's all there is to it.
Or at least give us a chair, please.
So I can sit down.
Okay, plenty of chairs to sit down in today.
Well, yeah, and that's because I chose to sit down in them. No, I like the idea about rewards, because one thing I don't really like is when you find, multiple locks in a box. Because, you open, a third of it, yep. And it's like, okay, two more to go. I mean, maybe it's kind of like delayed reward, but I don't know. I just like opening something.
It could have also been the crazy amounts of four-digit locks we did again today.
Oh, so. Three-digit locks.
These ones are three-digit locks.
And then you had one of the rooms where there were several pairs of locks where both pairs of locks use the exact same combination.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that worked. I just thought, I'm going to try it. Oh, wow. It's the same combination.
What's the point of putting two locks on a box that had the same combo?
Yeah, it's lazy design. It's leaving behind that opportunity to actually put something in. And so I think I'd have to say today we saw a lot of lazy design. Mm-hmm. A lot of times where the designers didn't say, how could we incorporate this into the setting or into the narrative of what's going on instead of just, let's have two locks that you could take an opportunity to do at least a second puzzle instead of having two locks, both of which were the exact same combination to open the box.
But I was really only frustrated in the one. The other times I had fun, but only because, I like to hang out with you guys and we ate food.
Well, that's a good point. There were still moments of fun.
Yes.
Even though we were frustrated, it's kind of like watching a bad movie with
friends. It was only one room we were really frustrated in, the zombie room. We were just, I was even frustrated because we were chained to a wall and nothing to do.
Like when we would have, when we were doing the puzzles and stuff and you'd be like, can you check this thing again? And I checked it with the black light four times. I'm like, fine, I'll check it again because there's nothing else to do right now.
We did run into that quite a bit with linear rooms. Many of these rooms, there were moments where each of us were sitting there with nothing we could do because the puzzle area was small and there was only one puzzle to be worked on. Mm-hmm. And that's another problem with design is making these linear rooms makes it so some of the team doesn't have anything to do.
Yeah. Or if it's a process type puzzle, we can see that Scott, Manda, and Ruby are working on it, and then Mike and I go and just brood it.
Yep. You didn't know, but you still needed the thing to see. You still needed a clue from it.
We still needed a clue, yes, but we knew what it was supposed to do. We just had to wait for you guys to finish the puzzle, but we didn't want to wait for that, so we just went ahead.
I'm not arguing with that.
So we missed that happy moment because you guys brooded it.
Somebody was greedy.
No, we only had 4 minutes to spare in the end, so we had, it was a good use of time.
Yeah, I was getting stressed.
Stressed in 12 minutes.
Yeah.
We had 12 minutes.
Because I kept going back to that scrap where we were like, oh, we have 20 minutes left. We're just fine. And then we didn't win because we got stuck on the last puzzle for 20 minutes.
Well, it's not our fault. It's just scrap.
That's true.
So would you guys suggest if someone were looking to do a batch of rooms, they've done the good ones in Toronto, should they do the mediocre ones in Toronto or should they come out here and do the rooms here?
I would do the honest. I know that the vault had some issues in it, but I might recommend it as a mediocre route, like on par with some of the other mediocre Toronto rooms, maybe.
Well, I would think even to some of the good rooms. I mean, like, some of the good rooms here have great design. I mean, there are some things that are different here that you don't find in Toronto. And that, you know, the use of gadgetry, for example. If you want to see that, hey, come, because nobody does that over there. But if you want to see three-digit locks, well, there's lots of that here, too.
But I would say otherwise, yeah, just stay in Toronto. Because, I mean, yeah, Toronto's doing it more with it now. They're kind of evolving the medium.
Well,
so.
I think we had a better time with the Hamilton and Brantford set of rooms than the Kitchener-Waterloo rooms. So if we were to say to go to one area, those rooms in Hamilton and Brantford, I felt, were more enjoyable room experiences overall than what we had here.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Yeah. Today was sort of,
It's like, oh, we did five rooms. Really?
I'd say, yeah, do mediocre Toronto rooms, mainly because there's more bars there. So if they suck, go have a drink.
The ones here tend to be more puzzle rooms.
Yeah.
So you just do a bunch of puzzles. And so if you like that, if you like a lot of puzzles, as Scott said earlier, then you can come here and do a bunch of puzzles.
It's very much first gen. I think it's still first gen.
So what's your next big adventure?
Our next big adventure for rooms? Oh, I think we're doing the Scraps Red Room. Yeah. That's next week. I know, we just keep doing them. And I do believe Leader also wants us to do the China City Escape.
Right.
Yeah, I think so. Although Leader has put into my Google calendar, she has booked me for City Escape on August 20th, I think it was. I just noticed that it's on my calendar. It says mandatory, so I better show up. That's in August. What is this? Be ready to help Leader. That's what it's called. What is it? Yeah, so I know that's in August. City Chase. That'll be exciting. Right.
That was great. Thrills and chills as Errol looks it up on his phone.
Which it's actually more exciting to listen to than it was to even watch.
I hope in the fall that I get to go to New York and see Sleep No More. I have my passport now, finally. So, yeah.
Well, United States, it's its own escape room, you know. Once you get trapped in there, it can be tricky to get out.
Eh.
Don't make me go back.
What is your next big thing?
Design.
Yeah, you
know, we are working on a top secret project, which we'll be able to announce hopefully in a few months. Should I talk about our thing?
Yeah.
So we can announce right here that we have just launched a new partnership to put together a puzzle hunt / escape room that will be in Brantford at Laurier that will be tying in narrative, puzzles, challenges, and actual content. So we're partnering with our criminology department, students from there, and to create some rooms and challenges to help demonstrate to people how you can bring together puzzling and education in a sort of recreational and edutainment. But so I'm sure you'll hear more about that on the podcast. We're looking that will probably be sometime in October.
It'll be fun. So now that you've announced it, Scott, that means you're going to have to stick to it.
That's right.
There you go.
These things, because then I stick to it.
Let's
so
accountable
there you
for
go
it.
That's right. Well, I tweeted about it last week so that I would be doing it. Now I've suckered you all into it.
Well, it's not, you're giving me a whole town to play
that's
with.
That's right. That's
not
right.
Suckering a penny. Oh, that sounds glorious.
I'm super right. excited.
So as a warning, though, if you're a heavy duty puzzler and you say, I want to go get my brain challenged, understand that's not really our goal here.
No.
Our goal is going to be more to explore story and narrative, to have some challenges, but also look to integrate real world content. And what does it look like to put all that together? Almost like a Scully paper could come out of this.
Psychological study.
Actually, we work very closely with our psychology department. So
that would make sense. Part of,
I tell our students our game design degree is actually a degree in psychology and motivation.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to do, that is to create player experiences that motivate people to engage. And while they're engaged, if they learn something, oh, so much the better.
So then you're going to have to, like, invite us up so that I can tour Brantford again, and then we can get a whole whack of ideas.
I think that sounds like a great plan.
That'll be great. That'll
and
be
you
awesome.
Can do the other room in Brantford while you're there.
Yes. Yeah, oh, is that the other emerald?
The escape key.
Escape key's Lady Evelyn's.
Lady Evelyn. Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah.
Paradox or something.
Yep, okay. That's it.
Cool.
On your trip to Niagara Falls.
Oh, this can be during my bachelor week.
When is that?
I don't know. Karen has to decide. Let me see. I think it will be, if
oh,
I know.
Oh, we're going to get out the phone again.
Oh, no. Where's the phone? It might be between the 7th and 13th of August.
Okay, good.
We're doing something new on Room Escape Divas. We asked people to send in letters. So this is super exciting. We're going to read a few of those letters. Not real paper letters. It was just a post on Facebook. But they wrote us letters, and we will answer them to the best of our ability. So our first one is, Dear Red Divas, Dear Room Escape Divas, why do I always feel dirty after going through an escape room? Is it because they are rarely cleaner than the floor of a New York subway station? Because I know I'm performing for strangers on the other side of a camera or something else entirely. Seriously, why don't people clean these things a little better? Signed, The Escapinator.
I think it's fair to say that not all... I mean, you got a high traffic, high volume of traffic of people coming to these rooms, and especially if you see wear and tear, good chances that these people don't clean as well, which is awesome that Ruby always brings hand sanitizer.
Yep. So
bring hand sanitizer.
Sometimes I won't notice how dirty a room might be unless, you know, suddenly you find yourself having to crawl on the floor to try and look underneath something.
Whoa.
And then, which I did today, in fact.
Many times.
And then you notice, like, all this grime on the floor. You get up and you kind of notice that there's a new feeling to your hands, which feels like there's five layers of grime on them.
I still go barefoot. Actually, I only went barefoot in two of the rooms today. Out of the five.
Yeah, still gross. Still gross.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's like, how do you clean after each hour plus do the reset, right?
Yeah.
Or after each 45-minute room? It's just not that much time.
There's not that much time, but I will admit that there are some rooms when they use older antiques, or if they're using, like, one of the rooms today, I won't say which one, but I was in this area of it, and I was kind of stuck there. And I was surrounded by these, dusty, almost like cleaning supplies and stuff, but the place was covered in dust, and it was clear that it hadn't been touched in a while, and a lot of the stuff there was old. And I find that when there's a lot of old stuff in rooms, it's really hard not to feel dirty.
Yeah, owners might call that motivation. For me, the grossest things are usually toy rooms, because they're full of plushies that people have probably touched, sweated on, wiped grease on.
Wiped their face on.
And their feet, because they took off their shoes.
Yeah, but I don't wipe my feet on the toys. What do you think I'm doing? I just walk. I don't pick things up with my feet.
And bedrooms, because they always throw old clothes and stuff, and covers and stuff.
Clothes are the worst. I hate touching clothes.
And then they hide stuff in the clothes, and you have to go through all the clothes.
But you could feel like these clothes need to be washed.
I don't like clothes. They're gross.
Sometimes it's not even that, because I have an allergy to dust. So if I walk in a room and I start sneezing, or if I start feeling itchy, it's definitely not clean.
So in the end, hand sanitizer. That's probably the best you can do, because Ruby's right. It is hard to clean up escape rooms constantly.
Yeah.
Dear Room Escape Divas, can you touch a bit on ER times 30 to 90 minutes? What has value and what will be too much for someone's attention span?
I have yet to play a 30-minute room. Oh.
SRG Gordon.
You put like a 5-minute pause in there.
I don't know if they want their name said, but I did.
Okay. I have yet to play a 30-minute game.
Yeah.
We will next week. Will we?
Yes. Red Room.
Oh, really? That's 30 minutes?
Yes.
Oh, that sucks.
You didn't know that?
No.
Wow, so you can see our...
How much is it? Sorry.
Same amount.
Oh, what?
$28.30.
Are you serious?
Wait, hold on. We should check that.
Yeah. I'm mad already.
So there you go. That's what we think of 30-minute rooms.
Sorry, I'm tired, so I have less of a filter right now.
I think...
The longest room we've done was 70 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 75, yeah.
Really... I mean, considering that we can go for like five rooms in a day, I don't think it's the length that matters. It's the room.
Yes.
If it's an awful room, it's an awful design room, then we don't want to be in there for 20 minutes. We get upset. It's just like, let's just get out. But the cool thing is the day goes by really fast. So I think we could probably do a 90-minute room, if it's a great room.
But he was also asking about value for the room as well. Oh, it's $20 plus HST. Okay.
So $20 for the... So getting back to that red room, it's $20 for 30 minutes. So it's still quite a bit if you think about it.
Still quite a bit.
I mean, yeah, we just did a room this last week that was, what was it, 60 minutes? And for $28, I think, really...
That's about average, like, for a good room, I guess.
Yeah, for a good room.
Yes.
So, I mean, yeah, it goes back to Errol's point that, you know, if the room is bad, you probably want to get out of there sooner. But if a room's good, you probably want to spend a little more time to enjoy the experience, especially if it's an immersive room.
And it's well-made, well-built, the props are nice, it's not dollar store stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know, you get... Even, like, $20 for 30 minutes. You can also pay $20 for an hour to two-hour-long theater show. Or less than that will pay for a movie. Or that might pay for a five-hour video game. Imagine if you paid $20 for a half-hour video game. Yeah, people would be rioting!
Anyway, attention span, I think, is fine for us. As divas, I think we'd be fine with that. Especially if it's a good room. But if it's a bad room, no. No way. I don't want to be in a bad room for that long.
No, absolutely not.
It's also from SRJ Gordon. Dear Room Escape Divas. Doesn't actually say that, but I'm putting it in there. Locked doors. Is locking people inside a space required for a fun part of a game? Can people have just as much fun without the exit door being locked? Signed, Gordon.
That's a good question.
It doesn't matter to me, actually.
Yeah,
since I never actually try the door, because I don't try to see if it's unlocked or locked, I can just pretend it is locked.
I think it's the objective and the storyline and the immersion that matters, not so much whether the door's physically locked or not, right?
Right. You want to feel motivated to go on through the room.
Yeah.
In the beginning, all first-gen rooms were... Yeah, that was the thing, right? There is a locked door. You are locked in there for some reason, but I'm seeing escape rooms now kind of play around with the actual objective. So sometimes it's not even, like, yeah, sometimes there's technically nothing keeping you there. You're just there to either rob somebody or... but yeah, having the door physically locked, I could take it or leave it.
Yeah, it really depends on the story. I mean, Amanda brought up the exact one I was thinking about, the heists. I mean, why would you be locked in a room that you're trying to go and rob, right? That's actually part of your exit plan, unless you had a poorly crafted exit plan and you locked yourself in the room. Then, yeah, you'd wonder why you're there in the first place.
Dear Room Escape Divas, if we can get a study of fMRI brain scans of participants while playing, what will we see? Signed, Jen.
When the black light comes up, the range of the brain just goes. That's what you get if you scanned a diva's brain, probably.
I think it goes back to how immersive a game is, how well it plays out, how it kind of gets the player's attention, right?
If there are trains,
oh my gosh.
Or it tells you to
That's kind of a spoiler.
That's a spoiler.
Let's cut that out.
Rage. I know Mike wants to see us rage, so...
I saw you rage.
Did you see me rage? When did you see me rage? I didn't rage. When did I rage?
A little bit of Errol rage in the zombie room, at least.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't rage. I just sat there.
No, but there was physical rage today.
It wasn't that physical. Okay, I thought it was a drawer.
But it was quite a lot of effort.
There was quite a lot of
that
effort.
That much effort.
Yeah, it was like, oh, you know, this might be a drawer. And it was like...
Tug once, tug twice.
Yeah, tug once, not moving. Tug twice, not even budging. All right,
no,
maybe,
it was budging. I saw it sort of coming out.
Just wrench it out of the wall.
Oh, and then it was just, oh, those are nails. Oh.
It'd be interesting to measure the adrenaline levels of people in rooms and when it happens.
Like Manpan's levels when it was 12 minutes. Oh, it's true. He's like, we got 12 minutes. Uh-huh.
I thought it was 14.
Oh, maybe
no,
it was 14.
No, it was 12.
Oh, yeah, that extra 2 minutes.
Trust me. Trust me. screw you guys. He's flinching. That's my only happiness right now is that he's flinching.
It's romance. Speaking of value, we did seem to pay kind of around the same for 60-minute rooms and 45-minute rooms.
Yeah.
And I would prefer, the 60-minute rooms. Even if it's done quicker, and it wasn't done quicker.
Some were.
But the 45-minute rooms were done quicker, weren't they? Yeah.
Was it a 45? I don't remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Yeah.
So what was the original question?
Oh, that was about brain studies.
Brain studies. I don't know. Like,
I think there's definitely a lot to study. That's why Scott was mentioning he collaborates with the psychology department a lot, because a person's reaction, like, no matter if it's a positive or a negative reaction, what gets them going, what, you know, turns them raging or upset for that matter, like, it's a good study to see. But you can't physically scan someone's brain with an MRI machine while they're in a room, so.
Oh, but what about an fMRI machine? That means functional. So it's just attached. I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, neither do I. Sorry. My limited psych knowledge does not extend to that.
House hasn't helped me at all.
No.
Okay. Dear Room Escape Divas, I am looking for the most difficult escape room in the world in which I would like to place at least one, if not both, of the people running for an office of significance in my country. Can you recommend one that takes at least 6 months to complete and offers gift cards? The escape knot.
That sounds like a super serious question.
Yes. You can go to school. That's more than 6 months. You can take Scott's escape design, game design course. That'd be cool.
So what if you had, like, what was it you said? Like, heads of the country?
Basically, presidential candidates he hates.
So, yeah, what about, yeah, that'd be interesting. The presidential candidate centered around, the candidacy centered around them solving an escape over the course of 6 months.
Dear Room Escape Divas, can we talk about getting things at escape rooms? What is the coolest thing you've seen awarded for completion of a room or available for purchase at a room? One facility had I Escape t-shirts available for purchase by people who actually escaped. Also, have you ever accidentally with quotation marks, left a room with a proper tool? What kinds of stuff, if any, would you like to see awarded for success? I greedily await your response. The Dread Pirate, Walsfio.
Well, that's a good question, because Errol this very day, accidentally left with a prop in his pocket.
I thought it was, like, our goal to finish. We weren't even given a goal. But it was locked in something all by itself, so I thought it was a goal, and I just put it in my pocket to remind myself, oh, maybe we have to escape with this. We didn't.
Well, we did, technically.
Well, not that we were told. You know, it wasn't like...
I think the funniest part of all of that was when they were giving us the rules and said, make sure to check your pockets before you leave at the end of the game, just so you don't walk away with any of our keys or things. And Errol loudly exclaims, oh, I never put anything in my pockets.
I don't, except that one time.
And now we know why you normally don't.
Because I'll forget it there.
Yeah. Thank goodness we had to go back for another game.
Yes.
In terms of getting things...
As a prize? I don't know.
The Kruk gives you bumper stickers.
That was pretty neat.
We got prizes today. We got little medals.
We got, like, plastic medals, yeah.
If you win, you get a medal. But I think the one thing I liked was an escape room where they had an alternate ending. Not an alternate ending, but it was one where if you wanted to solve it a little bit further, you can. Mm-hmm. Or you could escape. And if you solved it further, you got a gift certificate for a free room.
Yeah, that was really cool, actually.
So that was nice, because we used that gift certificate just for the next room. And then I think everybody got minus the... And it was great, because it was like a discount.
Yeah, no, I like that.
I like that.
I wouldn't normally buy merchandise at an escape room, probably. I don't know.
No, I wouldn't.
I don't think,
unless it was a generic escape room shirt, I probably wouldn't buy... Or... I don't know. I don't know if I'd buy anything unless it was really cool in some way.
We were given shirts when there was a grand opening at one of the locations.
Mm-hmm.
But why would you buy a branded shirt?
Well, some people might like wearing a branded shirt if you really like the place.
True, but I think it would have to have something like clever, not just their logo across the front.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
It'd have
like,
to be cool about how.
Yeah, like it's like cute graphics, funny graphics, or something that's mm-hmm. clever on it.
Or and a picture of Man Pans on it.
Man Pans is my escape queen.
If you like t-shirts with Man Pans on it, you can email us at rubescapedivas@gmail.com.
It's your natural responses to Errol for everything.
Because he eggs on. That's why.
Now we're going to get flooding requests.
There you go.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. No. I could make the shirt. No, and it could just be like, hey!
You're too lazy.
I liked wine in my escape room.
I do. If you have wine in your escape rooms, email Room Escape Divas.
Oh, there you go.
And I will come to your place with wine.
Oh. What, you're going to bring the wine? Whoa! That is your request for dates. Oh, boy.
No.
Dear Room Escape Divas, what camera setup and booking system should I use? Signed, Nate.
I see.
Next question.
That's a very common question that you will find in the enthusiast groups. Group. Yes.
Yeah.
It was a joke. So.
Yeah.
In fact, I've asked that question all the time. When I went in the owner's Slack, where nobody is. No, where everybody seems to be, but nobody talks. So it's just me. Hello, owners. Dear Room Escape Divas, have you seen many rooms where personal restraints have been used? If so, what kind and how do you work escaping from them into a puzzle? Asking for a friend, anonymous.
See our rant earlier on handcuffs? For one, we can still like expand on it a little bit.
You know what? I like handcuffs. I don't mind trying to escape from handcuffs. A, if it makes sense, and B, if it's kind of fun, because there is something to be had with being restrained and trying to escape. There's a little bit of immersion there, and it will soon no longer be a thing in Toronto because it's. You can't do that, right? Yeah. You won't be allowed to.
But I wonder, are they allowed to use zip ties? Because
that seems to appear.
That sounds harder.
Well, if you're provided with some sort of clippers, then you can just get yourself out. And it seems to be more prominent in shows and movies nowadays to be zip tied instead of handcuffed for whatever reason.
But there are those handcuffs with the trick that you can just
the
open,
trick release,
right?
Yeah.
I don't mind the trick release ones.
Those are toys, yeah.
Yeah, and if you can find if you can get the lock, the key, that'd be fine.
The thing is, I don't mind handcuffs either. It's just there has to be a good reason for them to be there.
I mean, yeah, I agree with Manda. I mean, it has to make sense why you're handcuffed. I mean, if you're in a puzzle room and you're handcuffed, you have to ask yourself why, exactly. Because does it make sense to be? Or if you're in a bank and you're handcuffed?
Not from personal experience
Not
or anything.
Not from personal experience or anything, of course.
And, like, you know, if you are handcuffed, you know, if you're out within the first couple of minutes, then there really isn't any point for them either. That's my opinion.
Well, if it fits the story, then it's fine. Right. I think it's fine if it fits the story.
Breaking out, say, of a police van or something.
Or if you're in a cage. I mean, at the very beginning, when we first did a lot of our escape rooms, especially in Scarborough and in those areas, we were handcuffed all the time. And lately now, you don't get handcuffed.
No. Mm-hmm.
But when we went down to Kitchener and Waterloo, there was tons of handcuffing that was happening.
They love their handcuffs.
Yeah. As long as it makes sense. And it was fun in... I think it's fine, but...
Yeah.
I wonder why we're always cuffed to walls and tables and chairs.
Because that's what's available?
Why can't we just be cuffed to ourselves?
I have had that, too. I had
your hands cuffed somewhere. Oh, okay.
I have had that where I was actually handcuffed to somebody else
behind
me.
Oh, no, we've had that, yeah.
Yeah, and I have been handcuffed to somebody else, and we were just handcuffed together, just one hand. So that was something, too.
I've never been handcuffed where my hands were actually behind my back.
No, that's what I meant. Like, why aren't we handcuffed to ourselves? Like,
yeah. Because I think that'd be really hard to get out of. But that would be a fun challenge, too. Trying to get out of it when it's right behind your back. Yeah. I wonder if I can do that. I don't know.
I don't know.
It would be cooperative work, right? Someone would have to help you.
You know, like when you have you have to feel around and try to unlock the other person with a key.
Yeah.
We probably would never get out.
Nope. I certainly wouldn't be able to do it.
Or if we have to cut ropes with a knife. How many people would get cut? Oh, you cut me!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that seems dangerous.
Yeah, it seems super dangerous.
I think restraints can be fun if it's used right. And, yeah, like we said, immersion. Does it fit the story? Is there an actual purpose apart from, we just want to lock you up at the beginning of the room?
Aren't handcuffs cool?
So we have been restrained many times. Yes. We've also had blindfolds many times.
Yes.
I don't like the blindfolds as much because I don't like things on my eyes.
It feels dirty.
It does.
Yeah, it's going back to hygiene.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. It's like, has this been worn? Are we?
By
are
other new? Sweaty Asians, less sweaty than myself.
No. Okay. We have scientific proof. We have scientific proof.
Yeah. Let's just say that we got a hold of an
instrument that measures moisture.
Yeah.
I say we do a recap.
I was more Elmer, moist.
I say we do a recap.
I was more moist. You can't refute science.
Oh boy.
Ruby's just shaking her head. We're going to do two more questions.
Okay.
Dear Room Escape Divas, what's your stance on Groupon? Do you think it devalues what we do and ultimately hurts us all in the end?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here in Toronto, which is pretty, well, there are a lot of escape rooms. Every time we see a room that has a Groupon, we go in with the lowest expectations and they are met. So
the other thing, though, is when Toronto was starting out, especially the 2014 to 2015 season, I guess I call them, there were actually even big companies that were actually using Groupon just to get exposure. Like, for example, Escape Games Canada, actually, the first time we went, we actually went on a Groupon.
Really? Okay.
But then they quickly got off it. We learned, and we see this trend with the companies now, is that once they're on Groupon, they have a hard time
getting off
because now they're offering, you know, they have these clients who come back and saying, well, you had that Groupon price and they're actually forced to meet it. So a lot of owners get stuck on that Groupon price that even though they have exposure, well, they're probably not making as much as they could.
And at least the good thing is, like, if they're just trying to match the Groupon price, they're still getting the full amount versus if they're on Groupon, they're paying, I think, like half of that to Groupon. So they're making like less than what they pay out.
The last one we did that was on a Groupon, or the second last one, it was awful customer service because I think they were just tired of all the people coming in through Groupon and they're not making any money.
Yeah.
So they just did not care about us and we could tell. And in escape rooms, I think you have to have good customer service. And if you go in a room and it's like, so is there something we should know? No. Do you want something?
I can give you a story if you want. Yeah.
So we would say no to the Groupon. Now, if you're the only one in your city, then hey, and you want something to... Although if you are the only one in the city, then you'd be you'd be completely different.
Mm.
And people might want to go and see what it's all about.
But I guess sometimes, like, if it's the only one in a city and you're trying to get that city's interest, then Groupon may get you that exposure, possibly, if you know a lot of other entertainment or vendors that are on Groupon, then you know that there's at least a customer base in that city that will check Groupon or any of those other discount websites.
I have a lot of friends who, I mean, they haven't tried escape rooms and they wanted to try for the first time, and they're asking, which of these Groupon places could you recommend? And I say, well, you know what, dude, spend another $5 to $10 to $15 and get a good experience. Well, ask me what I think is probably a decent experience and try that. There are other places that are $30 and, yeah, so not all of them are good, but that's another story.
And I will close off on this. Dear Room Escape Divas, how can we find your podcast? Signed, Will.
And this is where Amanda's closing comes in.
Room Escape Divas is brought to you by Inverse Genius. You can go to InverseGenius.com. Scott knows him. You can go to InverseGenius.com to find Scott's buddy and a whole bunch of podcasts that are super geeky.
Hi, Mom. I'm an Inverse Genius.
You sure are. You can also find us on Facebook. Just click the like button, Room Escape Divas. And you can email us at roomescapedivas@gmail.com.
Hashtag.
Mike has just informed me you can also hashtag us at REDivas if you are using Twitter. So yes, emails your questions. Thank you for listening, guys. Again, if you would like to email Errol and tell him what a he is. I'm an actor.
You act like you like these people.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.